You were being goofy. I'm surprised that goofy is the emotion that you're feeling after being in Pennsylvania with, let's see, 49 degree weather, rainy, wet, after being 2 weeks in what I would have to imagine is the
Absolute
greatest
paradise.
weather of that Hawaii has to offer.
When I got home, I was wandering around the airport area for a bit because I could not figure out where the fuck you got the ride share from Philadelphia. And I was so thrown off. I was very pissed off. I hadn't slept. I hadn't eaten. And it was cold and it was raining. And I was dressed in island clothing, essentially, and I had to stand in the cold and wait for a very long time for an Uber, and I was not happy about it.
There's not many places worse in the world than the airport after your vacation.
Truly not, no. And like the weather on top of that was just like, ugh, icing on the cake, you know? It was just like, ugh.
And also, like, I don't know. I feel like you've been to enough airports at this point. Philadelphia is by far in the bottom tier
Oh,
when it
it's a
comes to
terrible
airports. It's
airport. It's
terrible.
gross. It's
It's
dirty. It's.
dirty. It's boring. It doesn't, like, nothing's open
No.
ever, I feel like. It's
Everything's
small.
always closed. Sometimes I'm a little bit hungry. I never assume that I'm going to be able to get food at the Philadelphia airport. I never
It's
do.
crazy. Because you go to other airports and it's just like that, it's so big and clean and they have so many options and you
Yeah.
feel,
The
oh
lighting
my
is
God.
like natural and nice.
Yeah, it's so dark and dingy in the Philadelphia
It is.
airport.
I
It's, you're not even
hate
like that excited when you're leaving to go on vacation,
it. No.
and
I'm
then you're
just like, damn.
suicidal when you're landing, that's for
Yeah.
sure.
I was just like, oh my God, why is this what I'm coming back to? It was frigid. It was frigid. I mean,
Well,
I
how
was
about you
in.
tell us about your actual trip
Oh, it was
instead of
so
the,
fun.
I
Yeah,
guess,
instead
the
of
bad parts of coming back?
the horribleness of arriving home, it was fantastic. It was so nice to, like, everyone be in one spot, like the whole fam was there kind of deal. It was fun, seeing my brother and getting a layout on the beach and just relax. My parents were staying at a place that was near a resort. There's long-term rentals for condos sort of behind the resorts that are along the water. So you've like a maybe a half mile walk to the beach, and the beaches there are just stunning. I don't know about you. I grew up going to the Jersey Shore for a while, and then once we were a little bit older, we would go to Miami to visit my older brother. So like that was the first time I would see like beaches that were like not East Coast beaches. And I don't know. After being in California, Hawaii, Mexico, I can't do East Coast beaches anymore. I'm so spoiled. So spoiled.
Well, it's actually like what blue water and clean beaches and nice people and not craziness of the East Coast beaches.
Yeah, that is correct. It's interesting. It's just like a very different kind of experience. Like I love going to like the East Coast beaches, just having a full-blown beach day. That's so fun. But it's just so much more chill. Like it's quiet. The oceans that like I don't know, people aren't blaring their music. Like you're not a bunch of sardines essentially. Like it's different, but it's nice. And again, not knocking the Jersey Shore. It does its job when you need it. But yeah, no, Hawaii's gorgeous. A sea turtle swam up right next to me. That was so freaking cool. That's never gonna
That
happen
is
here.
cool. No, fuck no. See, well, if it did, it would be coming up with like a plastic ring of from
Yeah,
soda
you'd be
packs
like,
wrapped around its fucking shell.
There are tons of fish just swimming around, and you can like see them. There's like crab, like there's just marine life, which I know we have it, but like you can't really see any of it in the Atlantic Ocean. It's just so dark.
I'm trying to think of. I saw a jellyfish once.
Yeah, I
That's
see
probably
like
like extinct.
jellyfish. Yeah. And like if you're in like the Carolinas, like the
I
water's a
saw
little better.
dolphins.
Yeah. But it's still the Atlantic. Right? Yeah. It's just a little bit I don't know.
It's closer. I think, like, I don't know if the further north you get, again, I don't know the obviously the migration patterns of like larger sea animals,
Yeah, me
but
either.
I'd have to imagine the further north you get, the colder it is. I don't know why I believe that, but it
I
just
think you're
feels that
correct.
way.
Yeah, the water gets colder. I mean, if you think about it, like, people aren't like hopping in the ocean in Maine, you know?
It's true.
But like here, I don't know. But yeah.
The water was extremely warm when I was in the Carolinas. The Atlantic Ocean was extremely warm. And
Yeah,
I'm sure the Pacific is extremely warm as well.
it's warm. Like it depends on where you are. I mean, but here's the thing. It feels cold compared to being outside there. Because I don't like it's the 80s, 90s, and then you're like, all right, let me just hop in this ocean. Especially like, I mean, Hawaii is just straight up in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I know I sent you a screenshot of my location while I was there. There's just this tiny little blue dot surrounded by ocean, and that was pretty terrifying to look at. I showed my mom, and she said, "Don't you ever show me that again." I said, "Okay,
Yeah,
yes,
you were
ma'am."
sending me some snaps that I was getting real jealous of. It was just like you were just hanging out in a rock with the water below and then the waves and your brother laying out on the beach. Everybody's super tan. And you know, obviously, it was getting colder and colder here in Philadelphia and there was nothing going on.
Yeah.
I don't even think I did anything noteworthy in the last 2 weeks while you were gone. Obviously, we had a plan to release at least one
That
episode
we did.
while you were gone. We actually had it all set up where we probably were going to be able to release two of them, but me and Tina just fucked up, really, is what it comes down
We
to. We
did.
just we forgot that I operate still fully on my work laptop, which blocks all editing software, and Tina did not bring her laptop, nor did it sound like it would have maybe even worked with her Wi-Fi situation. But we were unable to. We could have recorded one. It was actually going to be RJ and Dieter in back-to-back weeks that were special guests. So we were able to record it, but we were not able to then edit it. So there
Yep.
was nothing that was going to be released, which is why it was the 2 week break here on Roll the Credits. So we do apologize. You know, we've, you know, since we've taken our break, we've really tried to, you know, if we have to miss a week, obviously that, you know, things come up, but we've tried to not extend it to multiple weeks. And like I said, we set up a plan to have that not happen, and we just forgot one key detail
Just one.
of the show of, you know, needing to edit it and put it together nicely. This isn't a big shop over here. We don't got a producer and an editor on the
Oh,
side, you know,
wouldn't that be
it's me and
nice?
Tina kind of doing everything. It was nice. I had it once. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Kind of record it and then just send it off to those. It's crazy that people literally like that's their like producers on podcasts and radio shows and TV shows. I don't know what you get out of it because you're not paid well. You're getting yelled at all the time. You have to like you're responsible, especially for like live producers. Like you're responsible for everything, and it's so stressful. I never understood why those people like those types of jobs.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's like an
Maybe
audio
thrilling.
engineer, sort of. Like, I don't know. I can't
Yeah,
imagine
but
doing it.
like,
I'd be bad. Oh, you would have to listen to the entire episode. Like
oh yeah, like when
that,
it gets yeah.
Can
Well, like
you?
I'm also I no, I can't imagine listening to. Well, I guess that's why a producer is separate. Like you're not listening to yourself
That's
in a sense,
true.
I
It's
guess.
not as bad, I guess.
But I'm more thinking of like those live producers, like that have to in real time, like make sure everything is going smoothly, that the interviewers are asking the right questions. You know, especially when you're getting to like high level podcasts and stuff
Right.
like. People got PR, you know, and like publicists that have like off-limit topics and times that they have to like make sure they're fitting. So there's a lot of craziness that goes on, especially think of like a producer for an award show. You always
Oh,
see
yeah.
like you always see the music going off, cutting people's scripts and all that stuff because, you know, they're truly on such a tight budget that I always read that if they went like 30 seconds over, it costs like millions of dollars
Wow.
to which is I'm at
That's one of my favorites, when Jimmy V was accepting the 93 ESPY, or the not the S at the ESPYs, the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. And at the, he's like in the middle of giving his speech, and all of a sudden he's like, ha, the teleprompter came on. Do they think I give a fuck? I have cancer. Come on. And he just kept
It
going.
is weird. You've seen a couple of those moments where it's like, all right, these producers or whoever, like, you gotta be human for a second. Like, I understand, but yeah, there's moments where it's like, all right, you gotta yeah, like, take a step back.
Yeah, depending
back,
on who it is, what the situation, and, like, you know, that obviously you're gonna let
it's
the guy
obviously
go.
A tough, yeah, it's a tough job. But I always think of, like, the morning show, because they show you behind the scenes of what those people.
Oh, they're just like
that type
just
of stuff.
So it
is
seems
just
so stressful.
So stressful. Like, to think, like, those morning news producers do that, like, every morning at, like, 3:30, and it just,
yeah,
like, I can't
nuts.
Imagine being Good Morning America producer or, like, yeah, like an assistant or any of that shit. That sounds crazy. All right, we've gotten off track, of course, which is what we usually do, but welcome back. I know you're not as thrilled to be back as maybe I am to have you back, but we also went to grab, I guess, call it dinner when you were back. Your second, that was your first day back.
It was back to back. I was sleepy.
You had some sort of special chef reservation at what ended up being like an Eagles bar, but it was very delicious.
It was
a little bit outside my comfort zone, because sometimes when you have like those specialty chefs, they don't, they make, that's it. Like, what they're making is what, there's no like, you can't change.
Oh no,
it.
You
there's
don't
no
get
special
to change
orders.
It.
So I never go to those things because I always get really nervous. But you sent me it, and it was like chicken cutlets, cheese, roasted peppers, some prosciutto, and I was like, I like, and like I like all of these things.
Yeah, on a lovely seated roll.
It was a good experience.
Yeah, it was. Got some ice cream afterwards, which was just as delicious. And now I finally understand why Calvin spends $20 every time he gets ice cream. That was a lot of ice cream.
I only spent 12 that time.
I know. I was pretty impressed.
Delivery fee. I actually had a Chipwich tonight. I always consider myself pretty strict to a diet and a gym routine, but ice cream will forever be my Achilles heel. Like, if you told me I had to do something and, like, get in, like, crazy ripped shape, and, like, they were like, you're not going to be able to do this if you eat ice cream, I wouldn't be able to do it. Like, they're like, we'll give you $1 million to, like, follow these guidelines over 3 months, and then you'll be ripped, you'll have washboard abs, all these things, but you cannot eat ice cream. I don't know if I'd be able to do it. That's how much I love ice cream.
That's wild. I do know you do love your ice cream.
I'm not shocked by that. I just need something. Like, if I'm going to be eating, if I'm going to have a smoothie in the morning, rolled up deli meat at lunch with Greek yogurt, and then ground turkey or chicken and vegetables every, like, I need something to make me not go insane, if that's
absolutely
out. It's ice cream for dessert, and it's like candy throughout the day, like just a couple of Swedish fish after lunch, couple of Swedish fish before I walk Sunny, just like something that makes me like something to look forward to.
Yeah, treats to look forward to, because
I'm like a dog.
You truly are. I love it. I think we all kind of are like dogs. I have my treats too.
Your treats are a little different.
They are. I have chocolate-covered coconut almonds. Oh, they're so good. Dark chocolate.
My mom would love this.
Wow. Me and Marlene have so much in common.
She loves dark chocolate.
And then I have these, like, dark chocolate sea salt caramel things. Fantastic. And then...
Are they from Gertrude Hawk or whatever?
No, those are Sanders. I forget. I think the almonds are at Edmonds, maybe? I'm not sure. But I got them both at Costco. You know, if you really want some good treats, I'll take you to Costco sometime.
Is that the place with the membership you need?
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm an executive member.
Does that mean you get, like, guest privileges?
No, well, everybody does. You, like...
What does executive member mean?
Well, it's one of the membership levels. I forget what they...
Is it because you go so often that you, like, got upgraded, or did you, like,
No, so they suckered me into upgrading it, because I essentially got a free membership on Groupon, and then they were like, you'll make the money back that you spend on this membership. So I said, okay. And they said I'd make even more back, because they were like, if you don't... She was like, you're going to spend X number of dollars before... like, the year's up. And I was like, okay, you're probably right. That's fair. Because, like, the first time I went, I think I brought one of my roommates, and we spent probably, like, $300.
I've never been.
Oh, wow. You got to come. It's delightful. Do you like pie?
Come on. You know who you're talking to. I love sweets.
Pumpkin pie, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's not my favorite, but I like it.
There is a pumpkin pie that was probably like two of my faces.
Wow.
$5.99.
Yeah, so is it like cheaper than like grocery stores?
Yeah, you buy things in bulk, dude.
So that's what it is. You can't eat, like when you go there and you buy something. But is it also, isn't it a place that like sells like golf clubs and
oh, yeah,
like
they
other
have,
things
yeah,
too?
The blanket that is wrapped around me right now, got it at Costco.
So is it like a Walmart on crack? Or is it, is Walmart a Costco on crack?
No. Costco's like kind of nice. Nicer, I should say.
It's just bulky. Not bulky, but
bulky.
You have to buy
yeah,
it in
yeah,
bulk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, oh, okay. So when we went last night, my roommate bought some chicken. And he bought like a 10, 20-pound bag of chicken or something for like $30.
Wow, that would be like literally $60 at a grocery store.
Yeah. So you should come to Costco with me sometime. It's right by the mall, too, so we can go to the mall as well.
How much is a membership?
It depends on the level of membership you get. I think mine was like $60. But initially,
No,
for the year. Oh my god, I would not pay $60 a month to be a Costco
That's
member.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Hmm. They have some great treats.
You're selling me on
Costco. Excellent. If we go out of the state of Pennsylvania to a Costco, they also sell alcohol at a cheap price.
It's so annoying that Pennsylvania doesn't have like
Pennsylvania
alcohol,
sucks.
Like gas stations.
Yep.
It, like anywhere else you go, you can like just go in, feels like anywhere, and get like alcohol. And like Pennsylvania never had, like,
yep.
It's so annoying that I have to go to a, like I'm picking up stuff for Tyler's bachelor party tomorrow. Like, I'm going to have to go to a beer distributor, and then I'm going to have to go to a liquor store. Like, I have to go all these different places
right.
to get, like, different things. It's very annoying.
It really is. I agree with you. Honestly, take a trip to Total Wine. I don't know how far that is, though, from you. It's kind of far from me. It's, like, 40 minutes.
What's it called?
Total Wine in Delaware.
Mm.
Yeah.
That just has everything
that's
together.
Everything. It's just like
no
a
sales tax, too.
Yeah. It's just like a giant warehouse filled with beer, liquor, and wine. And anything you can imagine.
It stinks.
It does.
All right. Well, shall we get to the movie?
Yes.
Chit-chatted away. This is episode
105.
Yeah, we did. The airport, the weather, the lack of alcohol sold in multiple places. I don't feel bad about it, though.
Me either.
Because
those are its
these
flaws.
These things are all true.
Yeah.
Those are all facts.
They are.
All right. So this is episode 105 of Roll the Credits. And we are going to be looking into Anya Taylor-Joy, who is, I would describe her as a rocket ship to fame, pretty much, in
yeah.
the last 24 months. I mean, the world became enthralled with her, obviously, in Queen's Gambit, a limited series on Netflix where, like, the number was staggering, the amount of people that watched.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was an incredible limited series. We both loved it. She was incredible in it. But then also the timing of when it came out just couldn't be more perfect. Like, it was different. It was still within the midst of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It was shorter in terms of how many episodes, but fast-paced in the episodes and longer episodes. It was just – it really checked every box for so many different people.
It did.
Like, people
my parents loved it. You know, like, I think it was, like, kind of an all-age kind of deal.
Universe. Yeah, like, any – like – sometimes you'll see shows that are based around sports. Obviously, chess isn't a sport, but like that'll only attract a certain demographic.
Right.
And then if it's like more on, you know, kind of a love or romance kind of storyline, that'll also attract a certain demographic.
Mm-hmm.
But the show really encompassed chess in something like that's not a subject I've ever watched before.
Mm-mm.
Also had like deep storylines, romantic storylines. It was funny at times. She really just shot to fame after that. You know, I think.
I mean, she did an incredible job in that series.
She did. And I think she won an Emmy for it.
I believe you're correct.
I believe. I will double check while I'm talking. But also, I then came to love her in one of my favorite shows ever.
Peaky Blinders.
So she was a late addition to season 5. Of Peaky Blinders, but did become a pretty important character there. And she was also just spectacular in that. It was a completely different role, dark, kind of evil, almost sexual. It's just, and then after that, she just, I mean, I feel like everything I've seen her, you know, in since then has gotten great reviews. I've seen a couple of them. And she's got a couple coming out, honestly, in the next couple of months that I'm very, she's in Amsterdam, yeah, which is obviously a star-studded cast that I want to watch.
That comes out the Menu, this weekend.
Yes, it does. And The Menu's coming out, and I'm not a huge fan of psychological horrors, but it looks really fucking good. Mm-hmm. And I know she's got some other things in the works as well. Just looking at it, she's got a movie called Furiosa, which has gotten some really good, stuff, in the press right now. She's filming it currently, and she's also Princess Peach in the Super Mario's film that is in post-production. So she's really figured it all out. And then obviously she was in a pretty big film that we haven't mentioned, a couple of them actually that we might have both watched. And then just to close the loop on her, she was nominated for the Emmy, but she actually did not win it.
Okay, who won that Emmy?
I need to figure that out right now. So she was nominated obviously for Outstanding Lead Actress. Who won the Outstanding Lead Actress Emmy?
2020, right?
2021. Oh. Olivia Colman won for The Crown. Crown always takes away people's Crown wins all the fucking time.
I think I need to watch The Crown. I think I'd like that.
I think so, too. It's slow, but I think you would. I've only seen a little bit of it. Okay. You want to go first or want me to go first?
I'll go. Okay. I'm so excited. I loved my movie. Do you want to guess what I watched?
I can try. There's one guess I have above the other, so I'll just guess the one.
Okay, you're right, probably gonna be right.
Did you watch Last Night in Soho?
Yes, I did. I loved it. It was fantastic. It was great, right? It was so good. The music was incredible. The lighting, the whole concept of it. I loved that it's sort of blended like a little bit of like true crime, psychology, and like a feminine narrative. It just like it really checked a lot of boxes for me and
kept you on your toes too. It did. At least that's what it did for me.
It did, and I did not expect it to. There was one thing that I did like predict kind of immediately, but I feel like most people probably did. But holy shit, it was a good movie. I loved it. I thought it was very creative. I will say the ending was a little disappointing for me.
Interesting.
It kind of fell flat for me because it just felt like predictable, and they like wrapped it up in a neat little bow. And I didn't think they were going to do that. Ironic how I said it was predictable. I thought that they were going to go a different route because I feel like movies have kind of lately been going the route where they're not giving you that like neat little ending, the feel-good ending, if you will, you know.
That's why I love film, because for me the ending is what took it up a step.
Wow.
Like I actually didn't, there was a part I want to say with 30 to 40 minutes left in the movie where I thought it was losing the thread a little bit. Like I was like, all right, this is starting to really toe the line for me of like non-realistic, sloppy and confusing.
Okay.
And then I thought that the ending tied it all up really well. From my memory, I actually thought, I feel like I'm usually pretty good at being able to predict, and I always love in a film when I can't, as long as it's obviously a good ending. And for me, I didn't really predict it, and I liked the ending, and that is what actually took it up from low sevens to I ended up ranking it as a 7.7. So that's why I love film, because you both analyze it differently.
And I think, so I see what you're saying. I agree to a degree with that. Like the very, very end, I was like, okay, this is better. But it was the neat wrapping of things that I was like, meh. Okay. But I didn't feel like it was towing the line though towards the end. So I think that's probably where we differ. So it stars obviously Anya Taylor-Joy, and is it Thomasin McKenzie?
I'm not sure. I don't know too much about her.
So yeah, I don't actually know how to properly pronounce her name, which I absolutely should have looked up before we started recording, but hey.
That's all right. You're knocking the rust off from the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Matt Smith, Diane Rigg, and Sam Claflin. So basically this girl, Eloise, or Ellie, is an aspiring fashion designer, and all of a sudden, so she leaves, goes to London to go to school, and then when she goes to bed, she like ends up in the 1960s, which is where she did say, like, if she could go and live in any time period, that's what it would be. And honestly, I think I really love the movie because that's how I feel too. If I could go live in any time period, it'd likely be the 60s, maybe the 20s.
I literally said that to you today.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about the movie theaters, and I was like, I wish it was still a time where like the theaters was
Knew that the
the
place to
social
go.
event where like you dressed up, you with your friend, you went to see a movie, and then like whatever, went to disco or whatever. But like
Yeah.
I
Into the
loved that
disco.
time period.
Yeah. And she is starting to follow around this woman who wants to be a singer. And I think that's all I'm gonna say because I don't want to give any of it away because it was a very, I highly, highly recommend you watch it.
The trip. It
It
is a
is. It's a
trip.
little trippy for sure, but it's really, again, I was just kind of blown away by it. And I know it's listed as like a horror movie. I don't, it's not super horror-like.
More thriller, I
More
think,
thriller,
maybe.
yeah. And I think I'm kind of into like that little bit of horror twist in movies. Just like a dash of it in a movie, I think is fantastic because, you know, it does remind you that you are watching a movie, but at the same time, like it's also sort of realistic enough and interesting. But yeah, it was like very psychologically mind fucking and all the stuff that I'm into. But what I wanted to talk to you about was why. Oh, the scores. Oh my gosh, how could I forget? All right. So IMDb gave it a 7.1. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 76%. I gave it a 7.9.
Almost
Yeah.
into the eights, a little higher than me.
Yeah, I almost went 8-0. I almost did, but
It's that caliber movie,
it
I
is.
agree.
It really is. Okay, yeah. So what I wanted to talk to you about was this quote that I read about the movie. And it starts with, "It was a very sobering experience to realize, oh, these problems have been the same problems forever. I think when you're writing a horror film, you should write about something that truly scares you, and toxic masculinity and violence against women and exploitation of women really does scare me because it is such a part of our world." Which is extremely true. But what I wanted to talk to you about was from a man's perspective, like while you were watching that, what did you pull away like from the feminine narrative? Like what were your thoughts? What was like kind of going through your mind? What were things that you were like maybe not 100% about? Like you weren't sure or like something that you didn't really think of, I guess, that happens in like a day the daily life of a female.
Like in that time period,
Yeah, in that
or just
time
in
period,
general?
in general, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm gonna try to answer the question without obviously spoiling the movie. I don't really
Yeah.
think it would even be spoiling to give away the storyline of, kind of what's happening. But as you mentioned, she's transported to the 1960s when she goes to bed, also at different times, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
And she's this very famous, or maybe becoming famous, singer in that time, and going to like all the fancy clubs, and obviously is incredibly attractive. But if you look at it in that time period, although I think we're still behind in where we need to be today, it was obviously miles back 50, 60 years ago when they're portraying that time
Yeah.
period. And I don't know, I can't imagine myself in her shoes, having, I mean, she was pretty much alone doing all the things that she was doing.
Right.
And I think a lot of times men back then saw a pretty girl who had talent and wanted to just like own her to a certain degree, and like, be like, I'm gonna be a part of your life whether you like it or not. This is what I have to offer, et cetera, et cetera. Like, let me bring you to the VIP booth. Let me get you an expensive glass of wine.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Here's a new dress.
Yes. So like I think it's hard for me to understand from the very basic level, whether the 60s or today, men don't get approached a 1% the amount of times that women do. I, honest to God, could probably count on two hands a time the amount of times that like a girl has come up to me and been like aggressively trying to like get me a drink, get my number, talk to me, you know, maybe grab me a little bit inappropriately or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for women, like you guys have to literally think about that stuff all the time. Like you have to always be like, oh shit, I need to make sure like I have my like at least one friend with me.
Yeah.
Or I need to make sure that I'm not like at the bar at the end of the night by myself. Like I don't, that never crosses my mind.
Yeah.
Ever. Oh, that's so actually, I kind of like encourage my friends to leave me a lot of the time. And like a perfect example is I was just in the Carolinas on my vacation. Yeah. I think we might've talked about this even on the podcast, but like we're at a local bar. Obviously we know nobody else. Mm-hmm. And I'm with all couples at that point. Cause I think it was the one night that maybe Dylan was there, but either way, you know, as couples do, they wanted to leave and I didn't. And I was like, oh, I don't like, I literally don't care. Even if I would have turned around and they would have left me, I would have been like, oh, like I'm not thinking about it. And so I'm there at the bar doing my thing. Nothing crazy happens. No weird thought crosses my mind. I'm then walking home lost as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Still never worried. Like I'm literally putting my thumb up to hitchhike somewhere. Like I don't even know where. If somebody, God forbid, somebody pulled over and picked me up, like I don't even know what I would have told them. But like even if that happened, no worry would have really came across my mind. Yeah. And I think like women have to think so differently, act so differently. Like you getting blackout drunk is a very different thing than a guy getting blacked out drunk.
For sure.
And of course, this is just a very basic social example. And maybe I'm not doing feminism justice or anything like that. But in this case, that's what a lot of it was. A lot of it was her going out in social outings and like being tracked by multiple women pretty much, right. Or multiple men, excuse me, pretty much of like hunting her down and like wanting obviously to, you know, be with her and have sex with her and all these things. But, you know, it's just, you guys have to live your life differently. That's a shame.
Well, and it was interesting too what you said, like always making sure you have a friend with her, because guys are constantly like, why are girls always going to the bathroom together, why are they doing this together? Like they do everything together because of all
out of necessity.
Of necessity, and it's, you know, it's a safety thing. Like I use Find My Friends, right? The app on the iPhone where you can track all of your friends. And well, not all of them. You have to, like, accept anyways. But I use that all the time. I have so many people following my location out of necessity, honestly. Like, you know, if anything were to happen, someone's got to freaking know where I am. And I guess, like, the more people you have sort of knowing your location or the ability to check your location. And that's the thing. Like, I know people aren't constantly just like casually checking my location at all. But, you know, if something were to happen, God forbid, at least you could potentially get like where I was every like 12 hours or something, which is better than nothing.
You can get more ahead of a catastrophe, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely a lot of safety measures. I mean, like walking through the parking lot with, have you ever walked through the parking lot with your keys between your knuckles?
Never.
Yeah. I used to do that all the time. Walk in a dark parking lot after work. Keys.
There's very few times that, like, I can remember, like, walking somewhere and being like, oh, this is, you know, I feel a little bit nervous. Like, I'm sure you guys feel like that probably, like, all the time.
Oh, yeah. Like, if it's dark out, I shouldn't be walking anywhere by myself at all.
I saw a thing on Facebook that I saw it a while ago, and I never really forgot it. It was like a prompt of like, what would everybody do if all the guys were wiped off the planet for 24 hours? And like all of the comments were, take a walk in the park, go out with my friends, go to dinner alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of these things that are just, again, feel very like if the question was reversed and that's what guys commented, people would be like, what's wrong with them?
Yeah.
But like for women, that unfortunately isn't something that like they feel comfortable doing a lot of the time.
Right.
And that's, yeah, I I can
And like even too, just like
empathize with that.
think about how women are described to like by men and stuff. Like when you hear someone say like, "Oh, you're a nice like young independent woman." What else the fuck do you expect? You know, like of course, like what? Like who's gonna say, "Oh, what a nice young independent man." What? Like you don't hear people
It's
saying
true.
things like that. And it's like, come on.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think that there's still miles to go, but
Yeah.
if you really think back, like to the time, like the 60s, and to the time that they're portraying in this film, it was like a lot of probably stories where like women didn't really have a choice. Like they almost out of like fear to not get beat up or worse, like they would just kind of have to go with the flow, as shitty as that
Right.
sounds.
And I think the sad part about it too is knowing that it still happens to so many women. I also like I don't know how you feel about true crime. I feel like you're not super into it. Honestly, I think part of the reason I like true crime so much is because it's sort of like a lesson to me, if you will. Like I'm learning about things that people do and situations people have been in. So I hopefully know how to kind of avoid those myself or potentially even how to react. I can't imagine having the capacity to react well in a situation like that, but like, I don't know, at least hopefully, like, God forbid again, knock on wood, if anything like that were to ever happen, at least there's something that there's other voices maybe in my head other than just straight fucking panic.
Well, it's also too like there's still people pushing this horrible narrative. I don't know if you've heard of Andrew Tate, but he's
Yes.
swept the internet, and like a lot of his messages are men are superior to women, women are my property, they do as I say, they cook, they clean. Like those messages by somebody that is on a global scale are still very dangerous to brainwashing and corrupting,
Absolutely.
especially in today's internet world, young, non-social people, like guys that like don't really interact with women, like they're loners, they're a little bit socially awkward, and they hear these things, and then those are usually the types of situations and scenarios and cases of like guys like, oh well, fuck women, like I am superior to them, like I'm gonna go fucking get what is mine, or what I've earned, or what I'm owed, or what I'm due. And I think that's really dangerous to portray, because it's so much, like I said, it's hard to explain. We've come a long way, but it almost feels like sometimes we're taking a step back, because it's so much harder to control what our young men are kind of taking in on the internet on a daily basis. It's hard to know what's sticking and what they think is right and wrong, what is a true fact and what is a lie. There's so much misinformation out there, and I think it can make, kind of progression in these areas more difficult, because we could be set back by people like Andrew Tate spreading a message that obviously
Women are
isn't
crazy.
true.
They deserve to be second. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and even too, like when you look at all of the different women's rights movements over the past 50, 60, 70, 80, oh well, honestly, even 100 years, they've all come in different waves. And, I think one of the telltale signs of the fact that, yes, we have made some progress is still the fact that there still isn't an equal rights amendment. Like the Constitution says every man. This doesn't mean woman. It straight up means man. And that's just not included in the Constitution. And it wasn't until, I believe, 2020 or 2021 where finally enough states ratified it into their state constitution. So at some point, it technically, I believe, can be voted on to be added as an amendment to the Constitution, but still hasn't been. And again, that's been around since the 60s. So, like, under the United States Constitution, like, men and women are not equal, or men and other genders, like, are not equal. And yeah, I don't know. I thought a lot about that after watching this movie. I really did love it, though. I highly recommend you all go watch it. It's very well done. It's not solely about feminism. I know we just talked about that a lot, but it's just more from, like, a female narrative, a feminine narrative, and it's just really interesting and a good watch. Again, great music, great lighting, great camera shots. Highly recommend.
I agree. I watched it, and I was right around your score. You know, we might have a chance at one of our highest rated actors on this show. I watched a new movie of hers as well. She's done some work prior to the last couple of years when she got big, but I mean, she really wasn't starring in a lot of roles before Queen's Gambit. So both things that we were going to watch were going to be newer films. This has been on my list since it came out. It was The Northman, obviously, in 2022. With a star-studded cast, directed by Robert Eggers, who does some really big, epic movies. You know, he's directed some great films in the past. I wasn't too familiar with his work because while I was excited to watch this, this isn't necessarily my favorite drama. It's an epic Viking action film, but he's done things like The Lighthouse recently, The Witch. He does a lot of black and white. It's just visually stimulating work is a lot of what he does. So this was a film that consisted of, like I said, stars across the board. Alexander Skarsgård is the lead in this film. He plays a character named Amleth. Nicole Kidman plays his mom and the queen. Ethan Hawke plays his dad, King Artevil. Anya Taylor-Joy is Olga from the Birch Forest, who plays Amleth's love interest, and also Willem Dafoe makes a couple of cameo spots in the film. So it is a star-studded cast that was for a movie that was really gaining a lot of press for its release, and it is a film of dark Viking epic action, revenge, with a love story tied in it. It was a lot more than I expected. Like, I was going into it expecting it to be just like action and revenge and darkness. And while a lot of the movie is fueled by hate, like I said, Anya Taylor-Joy's character and that storyline that those two create made this movie take that next step for me. So pretty much Amleth, when he was a child, watched his dad be murdered by his brother. So his uncle murdered his father. And so his whole entire life while he escaped, he kept saying three things where he was like, "I will avenge you, father. I will save you, mother. I will kill you, Fjolar." So he just continued to repeat that. And he became this, I mean, Alexander Skarsgård, his workout regimen for this film must have been fucking nuts, because he looks like a fucking beast in this movie. He is just like ripped from head to fucking toe. He like fucking eats people in this movie. Fucking badass. And the whole film, like I said, is that fire for revenge to go and kill his father's killer, who ended up being his uncle. There's obviously storylines along the way. When he meets Anya's character, when he gets reunited with his mother. But it's just like, it almost has a twist of like sci-fi to it. Like the types of things that happen and the things that they show, like it almost felt sci-fi too. So I think all things considered, it brought in a couple of things that are just not my favorite genre, sci-fi, action, all. But with all of those things considered, it was captivating, and the score was incredible. They did some tough action scenes in dim lighting, which is always hard for me because I find it very important. Just one example, Game of Thrones, in the biggest battle scene in the history of the show, I had to literally turn a fucking flashlight on to see what was going on. It was so annoying. And I was worried in the final scene, there's this epic action, you know, kind of 10-minute fight. and it's like dark at night, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, this is going to be like 2.0 for Game of Thrones. And they just did a really good job of making sure you kind of knew what was going on.
Good.
It gave me 300 vibes. It gave me Game of Thrones vibes. It gave me a lot of things that I loved, you know, watching. So IMDb gave it a 7.1. Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 89%, and I gave it a 7.6.
Okay.
Which, for an action Viking film, that's incredibly high on my list.
That
you really
is,
can't
yeah.
do too much better for me. It's tough for me to think about what to talk about because
right,
it's an insane story, mm-hmm. and obviously we can't relate. But there is one part where Olga and Amleth are on a boat together, and she's trying to get him to move on from his revenge streak. And she asks him, do you want to lead with, pretty much this isn't verbatim, but do you want to lead with love or lead with hate? And do you want to live for love or live for hate? And he says, like, all I've ever known is hate. I've never felt close to somebody before, but this is who I am, and this is my fate, and this is what I must go do, pretty much. So I think in both of our lives, we can relate to that. I think we've both been led by love and led by hate.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably self-explanatory which one you would prefer to live by, but I would be curious to hear your thoughts on, like, which one is sometimes easier to find yourself living by, your feelings when you feel like, you know, how you feel when you take a look in the mirror or whatever and you're like, oh, fuck, I feel like I'm leading with hate more than I'm leading with love. Like, what are your thoughts behind those two things?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely easier to choose to be vengeful, hateful, and spiteful. It doesn't take a lot of energy. And it doesn't push you to be a better person, in my opinion. I think about like the last 3 years of my life, really, and how bitter and angry I could have become.
Mm-hmm.
And hell yeah, there are certainly days where I am bitter, where I am angry, and I am pissed off. But at the end of the day, like, I go to bed and, you know, I wake up and that wasn't guaranteed. And I have another day to live. And it's like, why would I waste my time in such a negative mindset and in such a bad headspace when, like, yeah, you know, there's terrible things going on in the world constantly. You know, it's blasted in our faces left and right. And you just kind of got to block that out. Like, yeah, absolutely. Like, recognize it. Be understanding of it, but yeah, I think it's just most important to really interact with everybody in a way that you're interacting with them through love and through kindness, because you don't know the life that person has walked through, and you never will. Some of those people you're just going to pass by, you're going to have one quick interaction with, and if you were a dickhead, gonna be like, wow, that person's a fucking dickhead, and they're gonna think, man, the world sucks, and you know, it'll pile on and on and on throughout. But like, I don't know, I don't want to be that person. I want people to think about their interactions with me as, you know, whether it's a stranger or whether it's, you know, one of my close friends or a family member. Like, I want them to be like, wow, that was helpful today. Like, that was nice. You know, there are good people in the world. And I don't know. It's very hard for me to kind of hang on to hate because it just makes you feel so shitty inside.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. Eats away.
It does. It does. And if you let it eat away at you, there's going to be nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably going to be miserable. And I don't know. That's just not who I am at the core.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. What about you?
I think I can differentiate the two. I think you would probably agree that I'm a pessimist by nature when it comes to like trivial things, like events that are going to happen, or you know, just like again, very, very basic. Yes. But like when it comes to sporting events, or when it comes to our dating lives, or when it comes to whatever, like I think sometimes I call it realism, people call it pessimistic, call it what you want. But I think there's a key difference. Like I definitely don't harbor hate anymore. I think I used to for a very long time. I don't feel like I need to go out and get revenge on anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that I try to leave, like you said, every interaction shining my light on it compared to leaving it with, you know, a bad feeling or whatever.
Right.
But the line for me is that in trivial day-to-day life, I can sometimes be pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
In work. Like, I've had a very good year at work, but from a day-to-day perspective, you would never fucking know it. Because,
right.
like, I'm like, you know, I'm just, oh my fucking God, is this client going to come in? Is this deal going to get done?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is going on? Like, I think I can be pessimistic by nature for the trivial day-to-day life aspects, but I do not feel anymore like I harbor hate.
Yeah.
Like I used to for a while, if that makes sense.
No, totally. And, you know, I kind of think that's to a degree how I am as well. You know, if you look at my day-to-day, yeah, absolutely. I might seem kind of like an asshole at times. I like to live in the clouds. I like to live in mm-hmm. the clouds. And you know what? I know it's not realistic, but I'm going to mm-hmm. fucking do it anyways, because that's a hell of a lot nicer than, like,
mm-hmm.
being cynical. And, mm-hmm. you know, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. I am petty at times. Mm-hmm. I am not a little angel baby. I have done plenty of things that are not okay, or, you know, I acted in ways I shouldn't have. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, overall, we all do that. We're not perfect. And that's just, you know, that's how the world works, and we're only human.
Yeah.
We're only human.
Yeah. I think one key thing too for me to realize, like I'm not in that spot, is a lot of times you can learn a lot about yourself when you get drunk and the type of person that you
yeah.
become. And I think when I was in a dark place, or I was harboring hate, whether I realized it or not, your drunk ego comes out as like a nasty, mean, hateful
yeah.
person. But like nowadays when I get drunk, like I'm usually happy, fun.
Yeah.
You know,
the only time you get like
a
little cranky is when you want food and it's not available.
Yes, exactly.
Which is
and
fair.
It only happens in Conshohocken.
Yes, it only happens in Conshohocken.
All right. Well, that is Anya Taylor-Joy, a real rocket ship to fame
yeah.
for sure. She's up and coming. She is I shouldn't even say that. She's arrived and she's here to stay.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what else she comes out with.
Yeah,
and, I mean,
definitely gonna watch The Menu. Definitely gonna watch Amsterdam. I'm not an animated film guy, but I'm sure you'll watch the new Mario Kart. I don't even fucking know.
Why? No, I'm not gonna watch that. Why would you say that?
Super Mario Bros. You'll probably fucking watch it.
Maybe. I don't know. I like the Disney Pixar movies every so often. Those I've come around to. I still watch those.
The one thing I would say, and I hope that she does it, is she is beginning to get a little bit specific into the horror, thriller,
yeah.
dark side of things. So, like, if you think of Queen's Gambit and Peaky Blinders, those are on the darker side. But even more so, Last Night in Soho, The Northman, The Menu, and
Amsterdam's more crime.
Not so much, but she is more she's a smaller part in that. But those big three movies where she's a big part of slash the lead of, and the two, you know, kind of TV shows that she came up in, are very, very on the dark thriller side. I don't want to see her get typecast. I'd love to see
yeah.
her do maybe a comedy, or love to see her do something, you know, a little bit outside that realm. So Furiosa, I don't know if we've talked about this, but this is the prequel story to Mad Max.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of similar as well. But hopefully she, like I said, she's also looks like she's in pre-production for Laughter in the Dark. Let's see what that is.
That sounds like. Yeah.
A young aspiring actress plots against a married middle-aged art critic to make off with his money. Well, not as dark,
no.
maybe. So that's my only thing for her. I mean, obviously there's many actors and actresses in this space that are very good at one thing, and we still revere them for, you know, but I love,
like, what
I would
if
love
that's
to see
what
her
she
diversify.
Wants to do, you know?
True. It's good. She fits it well. Well, we'll say that. All right. We will lock that in at A Last Night in Soho 7.9, The Northman at 7.6. It sounds like we both recommend these films.
Absolutely.
I have seen both of them. I would recommend both of them. Yeah, that's all I have to say. So we will go over to Tina's good news story of the week.
All right. So baby Conrad spent 6 months in the neonatal intensive care unit. And during that time, nurse Carly Miller became a lifeline for Conrad's mom and dad and Conrad, literally for Conrad. He was struggling. He was premature. And this one nurse was just, like, so great for them. And they asked Carly to be Conrad's godmother, and they are now friends. And, you know, she spent a lot of time with them at the bedside. He was having, like, kidney problems, some trouble breathing, some heart issues. And he was born a bit early. So, yeah.
That's cute.
That's it. I'm not gonna, like, read the whole thing. It's really cute. Yeah. Look it up. It's very sweet. And, you know, there were a lot of tears surrounding it. And she was like, oh my God, of course. He was getting moved to be with, like, a different doctor. And it was stuff that, you know, she wasn't really, she didn't work in as much. She knew how to do it, but, like, wasn't necessarily, like, in that area of with cardio and whatnot. And their Conrad's parents were like, will you please go with him? Because she'd been there every single day. Like, she was the first person to hold him. And he still occasionally will, like, go to her before he goes to his parents and that kind of thing. So it's very cute and it's very sweet. And Conrad and Carly are going to have a lovely friendship for the rest of their lives.
Love it. All right, let's go to the wheel.
All
right, it's spinning. Who do we got? Of course, it's on the line.
I wish we could make it so it doesn't ever end up on a line. Why is that?
I think here is an option, but I kind of like the line. Ooh, that's a bummer. No, I shouldn't say that. She is a legend in this space. I don't know how much she's a legend in the movie space. We almost had Timothy Chalamet, but we got Julia Louis-Dreyfus instead.
Oh, okay. I still love her. She's great.
She is a legend from Seinfeld and Veep, but I don't really know if I can name one movie that she's in, if I'm being complete. I only remember that recent Will Ferrell one that was, like, the bust of the year.
Yep, I watched that one for the Will Ferrell episode. I don't know if we ever recorded it. Yeah, it was horrible. I hated it. Hands down one of the worst movies I've watched in the past, like, 5 years.
Why is she on this wheel? She doesn't even have movies. She's got non-animated films.
Well, it sounds like we might be watching some TV series.
She's got three. We're re-spinning. She's off the wheel. This is the first
ever.
Oh
my gosh.
She only has three movies.
Really?
I mean, she's in A Bug's Life. I think we've all seen that.
Yeah.
She literally is in three movies that aren't shorts or animated.
I will say I really did like her in... Oh, she's in Onward. I didn't know that. I have not seen that.
Which one is the one with Will Ferrell? Downhill?
Downhill. Yeah, that was bad.
There's like two movies for us
I've
to
seen
pick from.
Enough Said. That was pretty good. I liked that.
Okay,
it's so her and James Gandolfini.
Yeah, so you don't even really have a movie you'd be able to watch.
No, I don't.
Okay, we're respinning. Sorry, guys, that's our fault. She shouldn't have been on the wheel. She's a lovely, lovely actress and obviously a legend, but more in the TV space. Oh, now we're talking. We have another fucking rocket ship to the moon.
Is it now Timothy Chalamet?
No, it's not. But it's close friend Timothy Chalamet, and it is the most recent Spider-Man. Boyfriend of Zendaya. Tom Holland is who we will look at. I know there's many films that we can watch for him. So that is what we'll get into next week on Roll the Credits. And that will be episode 106. So as always, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Tina.
We will see you next week with Spider-Man himself, Mr. Tom Holland. Remember to harbor love and not hate. Goodbye.